Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 18. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This epistle for St. Mark the Evangelist is an obvious choice. He gets a mention. It's not very much of a mention, but it is a surprising one. We find St. Paul here at his lowest, perhaps, imprisoned in Rome, pressing Timothy to come visit him very soon. Men have abandoned him. They've betrayed him. They've opposed the message. No one stood up with him to defend him at his hearing. His friends, his fellow ministers, are off busy with their own tasks. Only Luke, the author of Acts, stands by. False teachers, opponents of the gospel, weak deserters of the faith, as well as other preachers busy about their work. None of this is surprising. Mark is the surprise that Paul would ask for him here, and even say that he is very useful to me for ministry. In Acts 15, Mark, also called John, but we have way too many Johns as it is, Mark was the occasion for a great, sharp disagreement. In Pamphylia, Mark had withdrawn from them and not continued in the work. The call of a Christian is to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. The vows of our confirmation are only to clarify what that means. And as Christ himself said specifically of this ministry, put your hand to the plow and do not look back. But Mark had proved himself useless in that in the past. So Paul took Silas with him instead. Timothy, the one to whom he writes the epistle, soon joined their party for his second missionary journey. Barnabas second-guessed Paul, and he parted ways with Paul, the apostle here, taking that John Mark with him to Cyprus instead. But here today, in this little mention, we see a long arc that tells a very happy ending. Paul has reconsidered too. Mark is of use. He was restored. He was forgiven for his weakness. He was strengthened for future tasks. He is not a Judas. He is a St. Peter. God be praised for this. The tradition says that Mark indeed did come to Rome as Paul asked. there he worked with Peter and wrote this gospel under his direction as the Holy Spirit inspired him. Perhaps, as some have noted, perhaps he is that young man who runs away naked when Christ is arrested in the garden, a foreshadowing of his failure in Pamphylia. Perhaps also his restoration is hinted at when the angel in the tomb there is described also as a young man proclaiming the resurrection at the end of the gospel. I'm not quite sure how much of that's the case, but surely our instinct to look for that is correct. We love redemption stories. We love them not as the world loves them, as a story of how someone pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. No, we love them, dear Christians, in Christ Jesus. We love them because we know the one who has redeemed us by his blood and passion, as we'll hear sung tomorrow. Christ is a friend of sinners. Is there any more joyful story arc than yesterday's gospel? We saw Christ come to his miserable disciples, cowering there in locked doors for fear after abandoning their master who so graciously had called them friends, and what friends they proved to be. And he didn't come and beat them senseless, but he came and declared peace in his wounds. God be praised. He has done this for each of us in some way, and likely many times. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While men were yet abandoning him, Paul prayed that it would not be charged against them like Jesus, like Stephen, who prayed the same thing for Paul. And our pastors, our parents, our friends in Christ have sought our restoration also many times. We, dear friends, in turn, dare to seek the restoration of the weak that we know, the lapsed, the lost. And this, too, is how Christ is glorious in his saints, that he is always seeking and saving the lost. If your weak knees have ever been strengthened by the gospel, as Mark's were, as Peter's were, then hear gladly this exhortation that we have from St. Paul today, especially if you're a preacher of this gospel, or if you do any kind of work at all, as I know you do, to support and to serve this gospel. Be sober-minded, endure suffering, keep the faith, and delight to see how not only men of valor like Paul, but also all who have loved Christ's appearing are said to await a crown of righteousness on that day. If our Lord has called us to follow him and to bear suffering, which he, not our self-centeredness, has called the cross, then we do not need to cower any longer. Let us see and believe that he is risen indeed. And let us take great courage from this, friends. The Lord stands. He stands alive by Paul, even when no one else does. He stands alive by Mark. He also is by us to strengthen us. He does that so that here on earth, his gospel might be fully proclaimed and every task of love have its beginning, even with us. He is the Ancient of Days. He's the one who's broken the very jaws of death, the one who once was seen there rescuing a man from the lion's mouth and who had done it again metaphorically for Paul many times. But Paul goes on to say that he is the Lord who rescues from more than just close calls or troubles or loneliness or sufferings now. This is the Lord who will raise us up from death itself. And he will then rescue us from every evil deed and bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.